And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. So glad that you are spending part of your afternoon with myself, Bridget Riedel, and no Dean Wysocki today. I don't have our usual meteorologist on hand, but don't worry, we'll work around that. Instead, I have a great guest host, as well as more guests joining us today. So to my host, I'd like to introduce Roger Benson of Missouri. Roger, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bridget. How are you?
Fabulous. So, I see that you are a fellow who has some past radio experience. Does this feel kind of new and updated doing it this way?
This is a lot different. I actually did some radio time with a radio station at 970 on the radio dial. At WMAY in Springfield, Illinois.
Well, look at this. It's almost like deja vu for you, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
So Roger and I have a long history. We've known each other in our past careers before we both retired and then went on to do other fun things. And so, Roger, do you want to just let folks know who you are and why in the world a guy from Missouri possibly would say, sure, I'll help you host a radio show today?
Well, I don't know why I said yes, Bridget. Who am I? Well, I'm originally from Illinois, graduated from the University of Illinois with a degree in ag communications. And you and I came together in the ag chemical industry. I spent 31 years working in the ag chem industry before I went on my own to a spray business and some consulting. And so that's where I am today.
And you are a guy with a varied history in ag, not only in row crop, but in livestock as well, correct?
Correct. Over the years, I actually had North Dakota in my district at one time and had the opportunity to introduce Treflan TR10 on winter wheat or on spring wheat for pigeon grass control back in about 1979 and 80.
Roger, you're going to be so thrilled to know that Treflan and even Sonalan are making a comeback with weed control options these days. Folks are not shy about asking a lot of questions, how to apply the DNAs. I bet you can still do the whole presentation from memory.
Oh, don't get me started.
And now you spend most of your time talking about pasture. And so are you finding that folks are really interested in more intensive management of their pastures than you expected? Or was this a trajectory you were looking forward to?
I think the change is not only taking place, but it's taking place at a faster rate. We see more interest in pasture management rather than just continuous grazing. And in this area where I'm at, we have a mixture of warm season grasses as well as cool season grasses, tame pastures, as well as native prairies. So there's nuances of differences on all of them. But for sure, people are more interested in trying to be more productive and more efficient with their pastures.
Okay. Pastures lead to discussion about cows, hogs, and so much more. And one of the topics that I sent you today is a headline. I thought this would be fairly eye-catching for you. $800 million is being gathered by animal activist groups, and many of them are not just looking to help save your dog or cat. And I knew this would be an interesting point of discussion for you and I, because I look at these animal activist groups, and one of them certainly is PETA. A couple of the others, and I just laugh when I kind of read their names, Law for Animals, Animal Activism Mentorship, the Animal Policy Alliance. And these are folks that really want to destroy animal agriculture in the U.S. So I'm just going to ask you to start with, what's your first impression reading that story?
Well, I guess they're probably good people with great intentions.
Yes.
I think they're misguided in many cases. My brother was a professor of veterinary medicine at the University of Illinois and actually wrote part of a book about animal welfare. And I think that the biggest mistake these people make is the assumption that somehow farmers and ranchers don't care and don't take care of their animals. The last thing a rancher wants is a sick cow or a sick calf. If you're in the hog business, you don't want sick pigs. It's mind-blowing to me sometimes how the communication between that group and our side just doesn't seem to take place.
I would agree with that. And I think showing makes such a big difference. You know, if you have someone who's concerned about animal welfare, for instance, I visited a dairy farm earlier this week. They are so open to wanting people to see how well cared for their animals are. And frankly, dairy animals have to be the most pampered species in the livestock world. They get everything they might have ever wanted.
I think that's very true. And I think the other thing is there is a emotional part of animal agriculture that you don't necessarily see in corn and soybeans. People don't get emotional about their corn. But you take the hardest core old boy rancher out when there's a baby calf laying there in the 1st of March and the mama's standing over it, you can get a tear in that guy's eye real quick. There is a bond between farmers and their animals, and it's real.
Mm-hmm. And it's still something that they think about, even though they know the end result is going to be this animal is raised for food. But that doesn't mean that they are cold-hearted in the meantime with the production of that animal.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, that's the end game, but that whole process of breeding that cow back and raising another baby calf and taking care of them, they're good people doing good things.
I would agree with that. And I also don't want folks to think that I'm completely against helping out any animal organizations, because when I look at local shelters, and in Fargo, there is the Homeward Shelter for dogs, cats, etc., I think our money is best spent there. Rather than sending it to a national level to an organization that we don't have contact with, I want to make sure that I can help something more local.
Oh, indeed. Missouri has had a history of what they call puppy mills, and they're dreadful. And, you know, shutting down puppy mills would be a great thing if we can do that. But, you know, that's a whole different part of the discussion, really.
Yeah, I think it probably is a good point, yes. So, switching topics just a little bit, Roger, do you have a background? I know you do an FFA, but were you a 4-H member as well?
Well, I most certainly was. I actually, while I was looking over the stuff you sent me today, I had a flashback to the time when I was a member of the Gardner 4-H Club in Gardner Township, Illinois, and had to give a presentation, what they called then a demonstration.
Uh-huh.
I think I was like 9 and scared freaking to death.
You got over that.
Oh, Bridget. Yes, I did.
Yeah, not that shy anymore. But the good news is you're going to take your 4-H experience, because I actually didn't have any. I was not in 4-H. But I look forward to visiting with our two guests today. One is Brian McNeil. Brian is with the University of Minnesota, and he is a big portion of the 4-H Ag Ambassadors. And then one of those students is going to join us as well. Her name is Sydney Erickson, and she's from over by Fertile, Minnesota. And Sydney is currently a 4-H Ag Ambassador in the state of Minnesota. So I have lots of questions. I bet you do too, Roger, just about what they do. And I don't know, was a 4-H Ag Ambassador something that you were familiar with when you were in 4-H?
No, you know, you look at the things that the Extension Service is doing with 4-H and the outreach that they're doing. When I was in 4-H, it was a rural organization, and today it's got a great reach into urban areas and doing some pretty neat things. And so a lot of their youth development things are pretty unique and pretty neat.
Well, I'm looking forward to asking them very much more, and I hope all of you listening are as well. You can reach us today at 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. Send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. You could send them to Dean at weather@flagfamily.com. He'll get them next Monday when he's back. But meanwhile, please stay tuned. We've got way more to come after markets from the American Ag Network. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. You might be finishing up corn harvest. Maybe you're in the shop today. You just never know. And if not, maybe I hope you're not on a parts run, because I'm hoping things are going really well wherever you might be. And a thank you to the folks at IntelliFarms in Castleton. IntelliFarms has provided us with a grain gauge, and we'll be giving that away next week. Grain gauge will help to monitor the grain levels on your bins, and it's a pretty easy concept. You don't have to get anything fancy with apps and so forth. You'll be able to see it at night due to the fluorescence on it as it flips and shows you whether your bins are half or three quarters full, etc., as you're filling. And to those folks, again, thanks. They were a part of our Here We Grow project, where we custom farmed 20 acres of corn north of Glendon, Minnesota. We'll also be presenting our profits in a form of a check to Farm Rescue next week as well. So be sure to tune in next Wednesday for that. But today, I have all sorts of guests with me. First of all, I have a guest host, and that is Roger Benson. He's from Missouri, and Roger is joining me to help as we visit with Brian McNeil, who is with the University of Minnesota. We're going to talk about the 4-H Ag Ambassador Program. One of those ambassadors is on the line as well. That's Sydney Erickson from over by Fertile, Minnesota. Brian, let's start with you. Tell us about this program and what's going on in Minnesota.
Well, good afternoon, Bridget and Roger and all the listeners. We have an exciting program that we started. We're in our sixth year of offering this leadership experience called the Minnesota 4-H Agriculture Ambassadors. And it's modeled after our 4-H State Ambassador Program, where we have young people that are trained and go out and talk with ag businesses. And our ag ambassadors actually go to schools during the week of Agriculture Week in March, and they'll be teaching young kids about agriculture in the classrooms. And last year, we've reached over 1,500 young people with our agriculture ambassadors, and we're hoping this year to hit 2,000. So they're eager and getting ready to hit the classrooms in March. But this, like I said, it's been an exciting program, and we started 6 years ago with 10 young people across the state of Minnesota, and now we're up to 26 this year, and we blanket all corners of the state, which is really exciting.
So, Brian, the first question I have to ask is, what started this idea for the program? Was this something that came from within the 4-H members themselves, or was it the businesses saying, and the teachers in school saying, we really want to see the kids get more involved in teaching us?
Well, there was some of that, but more about we've developed our plant science program in Minnesota in the 4-H program. And part of that plant science model is having a leadership component. And so when young people join 4-H at a young age, they join either through our in-person or virtual experiences. And as they grow with our program, we need to make sure that they have a leadership component and can learn and develop and share their leadership skills. And that's where our agriculture ambassadors come in. So that's part of our model. And as I said, it's been really fun because it's now showing the young people that have been in our programs are seeing this as an opportunity to share and to grow in their leadership skills.
So I have to ask Sydney, who's with us, and because she is an ag ambassador, Sydney, how did you catch on to what this program was, and what was the application process like?
So the Agriculture Ambassador Program was something that I actually found out about this summer when I was at the Minnesota State Fair showing my beef project, and I was talking to a friend that was in it a few years ago, and she said she really enjoyed it, and it was something that I thought I could add it onto my plate, even though I'm already busy. To 4-H and just being an agriculture ambassador. I've really enjoyed it so far. It's just a lot going on, but it's something that I'm passionate about, which makes me want to learn about it more. The interview or the process to getting in was all online. It kind of asks you what kind of things you're interested in, why you want to be an agriculture ambassador, and what we can do to better learn about agriculture.
So was there an interview of any sort?
Not like an interview. It was more just like an online process, like an application kind of a thing.
So, Brian, do you feel that you have enough students who are participating, or are you looking at, wow, we need more to cover this? Are we limiting out? What does your student numbers look like for the program?
Well, as I said, it's growing, and in 6 years to go from 10 to 26, I'm just thrilled with that. And we actually didn't accept all the applicants that applied. So we actually had about 5 or 10 that weren't the quality we were looking for, and gave them some advice and said, please apply again next year. And we'll see, as we've been telling our ag ambassadors, and Sydney heard this at our orientation, every year we get more opportunities and for the young people to go out there and share their passion for agriculture at a farm business or at a trade show, any place where there's an agriculture presence. We want 4-H to be there and show how these young people are excited to share their interest and their passions for agriculture, and to show industry and business and industry that 4-H is still there. We're still there, and we want to connect young people to agriculture.
Brian, this is Roger. One question I've got is, are you reaching the non-ag population with the ambassador program as much as you'd like to?
A great question, Roger. And this year, in our plant science program, we actually started a club in the cities area at a school called Eden Prairie. And that's on the suburbs of the cities. And we were fortunate, after a couple years of being there, we had a couple young ladies apply and became part of our ambassador team. And so now we're reaching, Roger, those audiences where maybe agriculture isn't right there in front of them, but again, there is still interest. And with these young ladies in Hennepin County, they're going to be able to share that interest firsthand with kids who may not get to see agriculture at a firsthand rate.
It seems so basic, but you know, one of the things we talked about even 30 years ago was the agriculture has a whole lot of different publics out there. Not just people within ag, but non-ag people, lenders, whoever it might be. And these kids are going to have the opportunity to do some really neat things with that.
Yeah, we kind of, hear a lot from young people, well, I get the chocolate milk from a chocolate cow. No, you do not. And so this is where we can bring in an agriculture ambassador and help educate those young people where their food comes from and what that looks like.
Oh, you Absolutely. Guys, this is an excellent discussion. We're going to continue that. It's bottom of the hour right now. We're going to do a little catch up with some news. But when we return, Sydney, I definitely want to make sure to ask you, what are some of the things that you were taught in your orientation? And what's the area in which you're going to cover to start going in to teach in classrooms? Because I'm excited to hear how you're preparing, because I bet there's some teachers out there that are hoping you're coming to their school very soon. So stay tuned. We will be right back as we keep our discussion going about the 4-H Minnesota Ambassador Program. Be right back. Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And for those of you who are listening and you've got questions, you are welcome to call us on the Red Wing Shoe Line, 701-293-9000. You might be watching this on a live stream with Facebook, YouTube, or Acres TV. And that way you can always go back in case there's something that you missed. These are archived on our WDAY website. I have with me several guests today. One is Roger Benson. He's calling me from Missouri today, and he's a guest host because Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is not able to be here. And then additionally, we are graced with the presence of Brian McNeil from the University of Minnesota with the 4-H Ag Ambassador Program, and Sydney Erickson from Fertile, Minnesota. Sydney is a 4-H ambassador herself, Ag Ambassador. So, Sydney, you mentioned that you needed to go through, or I heard Brian for sure say, there was an orientation. What'd you learn in orientation this summer?
Yes, so we had a lot of things going into orientation. The first day we got to meet everybody and kind of get everybody's names and know where they're from and what their kind of background is. So we kind of had an idea of who we were working with, who was on our agriculture team. And then on the next day, we kind of got into what was going to be happening and what we were doing. So when I applied to be an egg ambassador, I knew that we were going to be promoting agriculture, but I didn't know what kind of lessons we were giving. And I found out we were going to be giving a 4-H plant science kind of a lesson during A Week in March. And this is definitely something that is not my strong suit. I live on a cattle farm, and so that's kind of been my strong suit is the livestock portion. But I'm super excited to dig deeper into this plant science lesson that we're going to be teaching, because I think it'll better me and the kids that I'll be teaching. And a little bit about what we'll be teaching is our main topic is weeds. And I think when you think about weeds, people don't realize that they are in the crops that we grow. They are always in there, and we always have to manage them and make sure that they're not affecting the crops that we grow. And another thing I think that is important when we're teaching this lesson is to let kids know that their food doesn't just appear on their plate. And I think it's good to know that we need to know where our food comes from and how it's grown and why it's grown and the ways that it can be grown, because a lot of people don't realize how important the food that we eat we need and why we need it. Kind of like Brian said, you know, people don't realize that chocolate milk doesn't come from a brown cow. And I think a lot of people think that about the food that they eat. They don't realize where it's coming, how long it takes them to make the food, and then just from making it to shipping it off to the places that it needs to go.
Sydney, what year in school are you?
I'm a senior.
So how long do you get to participate in this program? Because it sounds to me like you're fairly excited. How many times do you get to go out and teach in the classroom?
So the school that I go to, our ag program hasn't been the greatest the last 2 years. We finally got an ag teacher, which I'm super excited about. So now I get more opportunities to teach ag besides in 4-H. And I've always just loved teaching kids about agriculture in general. Last year, not through the 4-H ambassador program, because this is my first year as a 4-H ambassador. But last year, I worked with some second graders at my school, and I had the opportunity to teach them about my family farm. And I think when you get to teach something that you're passionate about and you love, it just makes it 10 times better. And the teacher that had me teach this to, she said that she has never seen a group of second graders hold their attention as well as they did. I think my presentation was 45 minutes, and I think that's kind of what really got me going, was just knowing that I want to teach people about the agriculture industry and how important it is. And it's definitely something I'm looking into for my future.
Hey, Sydney, this is Roger. A question for you. What kind of questions do you get from the kids when you're making these presentations?
Yes, great question. A lot of kids usually will make comments and connections with me about, oh, my grandpa has this on his farm, or he grows this kind of crop. And I love how kids at such a young age already know so much in a small community, even though I know very many kids don't know much about it. A lot of kids, you know, will ask, well, why do you do this? Or why do you do that? And when you look at second graders versus like high schoolers, you have to explain them very differently. So like an example I have to give to my second graders was how we feed our cattle. We have a big TMR mixer that we use because we have so many different herds of cattle on our farm. And I told them that we use this mixer, and it's kind of like a blender or a mixing bowl with a spatula. And you put all your ingredients into it, and you mix it up. And that's kind of how you make their recipe. And then you're able to feed it to them. And I think that when you make small connections that different ages of kids can understand, it better makes them understand what you're talking about.
Do you do trade show kinds of things where you interface with more of an adult crowd?
Not usually. I have had some opportunities, like at the Minnesota State Fair. For all the years that I have participated in the livestock portion of it, I've gotten to do speaking up for ag. That is probably the most time I get to interact with all ages of people. because I think in the area of the Twin Cities or down by the cities of the State Fair, a lot of people coming to the barn don't know very much about agriculture and, like, livestock. So there I get to teach a lot more of the adults versus the kids.
So, Brian, you nodded your head when Roger asked about trade shows and visiting businesses. And I know that you'd mentioned that earlier, that the Ag Ambassadors do some of that. What are some of the types of businesses that students go to see, the Ag Ambassadors do?
Oh, we've been covering all sorts of businesses. And we're with Sydney up in the Northwest in your area. We're looking for more up there. So I'm hoping that if people are listening, if there's places we can get into, let us know. Because I think Sydney and Ben Capistran, they're ready to hit it. They're ready to go in and have those conversations. But there's an ag trade show in the spring in Mankato that we bring a team to that to talk to business leaders, to talk to industry reps, and to share again their passion of agriculture. We've gone to edible bean factories. We've gone to ethanol plants. We try to bring the young people to show them different varieties of agriculture in business. So if they've got a passion in agriculture and say they can't take over the family farm, there's still a place for them. And they can still share their passion of agriculture in any kind of way, shape, or form in industry. So trying to keep their views open for all sorts of educational opportunities and business careers, I think it's important.
Actually, I'm going to ask Roger this question, because as a guy who spent time corporately working for a major company, who had interns, trainees, who met with 4-H and FFA students on a regular basis when you did sponsorship opportunities, what kind of trade show or business meeting advice would you have for Sydney as an ag ambassador?
Well, I think anytime you work a trade show in a booth kind of a situation, the ones that are most successful don't sit in the booth. They get out and talk to the people as the people are coming by and engage with people. And the other thing is find out what's on those people's minds. I think one of the things in ag today, there's a lot of misinformation out there about food quality and what's involved in our food production and how is it any good? Are we poisoning of ourselves? We need to do a good job of making sure people know that we're producing some of the finest food products in the world in our agriculture in the U.S. And I don't care if you're a senior in high school or if you're an 80-year-old guy, that message needs to go out from all of us to our non-ag people.
So, Sydney, to you. How do you feel that this experience has helped your speaking and presentation skills? Anything that you noticed that changed for you?
Not so much. I'm sure I haven't got to do a lot of presentations or talking to people about my agriculture ambassador program right now, just because we've just started out this year. But I'm definitely hoping the more I do things and the more activities I'm involved in, I'll get that chance to better my communication skills. I've already had lots of experience through 4-H and FFA, but I definitely hope to improve it as I go on.
So, Brian, I heard you also mention that you wanted to make sure if there were people out there listening who you could connect with as business leaders, et cetera, you wanted them to reach out. But let's say I'm a teacher or I'm someone who's homeschooling, et cetera, but I really want to get a group of students together and have an ag ambassador come speak to my class. How can they do that?
That's fabulous, Bridget. Bring it on. We're ready. So anybody from a grandma who has grandkids that feels the need to expose them to more agriculture, to, like you said, the homeschool, to a teacher, Again, let us know, and we will make our best effort, or we'll make sure Sydney and Ben can do that and do some tag teaming and work with your group, no matter if it's a group of youth or even a business or industry. If you want these ag ambassadors to come and talk to your board members about our program and about 4-H, we're willing and ready to do that. So please don't be afraid to give us a call. And this is one way that both Sydney and Ben and the others that are ag ambassadors grow in their leadership and communication skills. So the more opportunities that they have, the better they're going to be able to grow and learn and keep. And as you listen to Sydney, my goodness, Sydney, you're just awesome. She's fun to listen to, isn't she? I got to ride about 2.5 hours with Sydney. I met her and her parents and brought her in for the orientation and back and had some great conversations in the car. But Sydney she's going to go places. So it's fun working with these young people that, again, have those passions, the energy, and just the excitement.
I think Roger and I would agree.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll just jump in here with one other thing. When I was an exchange student through the FFA program and went to Denmark for 4 months and milked cows and fed pigs. And when I came back, I gave presentations to about 30 different organizations in the state of Illinois. And I'll tell you, there's organizations out there like your cooperative extension service offices or your REA co-op, your electric co-op. They have awesome opportunities to reach out to people, and that would be a great thing for these kids to be able to do.
Yeah, agreed. Anything that we can do like that would be awesome. Okay, so I hope that there's lots of folks that are excited to hear more about this program and they reach out to all of you. But Brian, Sydney, do you have any last comments you want to make sure that folks hear today?
I would actually like to say something. Just like Brian mentioned earlier about getting more people in the Northwest, I would really like to focus on that this year. Just getting the opportunities up in this corner of the state of Minnesota through the AIG program, I think it's really important to know that. Just because, it's a state program doesn't mean that it needs to be people that are close to where we meet. It can be anybody in the state that wants to better agriculture and our industry, because I think it's so important that we need everybody to help us make this industry better and to promote it the right way, because there's so many things that get changed when you tell people about it. And I think if we can promote it the correct way, it'll benefit us so much. And so the more people and from every part of the state would just help us.
Again, how do you follow up that? Sydney is just great, and she's hard to follow up. But yes, just let us know if you have an interest. Again, as Bridget alluded, if you're homeschooled, if you're a sugar beet grower and want us to connect, let us know. We'll connect no matter what row crop or even if you're raising pumpkins. Let us know. Let's talk and see how, again, we can get kids, young people connected to 4-H and to experience these leadership programs.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. To Brian and to Sydney with this program, really appreciate you guys taking the time to join us. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to those who are listening, thanks, Sydney. For those who are listening, don't go anywhere. We want to touch on the weather and some last few headlines when we come back.
Hey, Bridget, sorry I couldn't be with you this afternoon. I'm not feeling the greatest. Hey, it's my putt. Hold on. Oh, wait. Never mind, Bridget. Anyway, we're going to have a beautiful, beautiful afternoon today with temperatures close to 50, plenty of sunshine out there. And then as we head into tomorrow, pick day of the week. It's going to be wonderful for this time of the year. Highs well above normal into the mid-50s with plenty of sunshine and winds out of the southeast about 5 to 15. So much needed rain comes into the area as we head into Saturday afternoon and evening. Not looking like a lot, about a quarter inch or less with highs in the 50s. Then that sets the stage for a pretty decent Sunday, a little breezy, with highs in the mid to upper 50s. And then another storm system is possible as we head into Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Some much-needed moisture hopefully heads our way by then, followed by cooler weather as we head towards the end of next week.
Well, even though Dean Wysocki's not here to join us, he still made sure we knew what the weather was going to be and that he may or may not be on a golf course somewhere. I'm not surprised. So, Roger, I just have to ask, after listening to Sydney talk about her program, I don't know about you, but that girl can speak well.
I'll tell you what, she's got a very, very bright future, no doubt, whatever she decides to do in ag. But yeah, a senior in high school that can communicate like that, wow.
So I am going to put in my own shameless plug that I hope she comes and helps me one day, because I've announced to our listeners that I am going to be having an assistant ag director. Every month I need a student to join me for one of our shows, just like Roger did today. I don't think you're my assistant though. I've known you a long time, Roger. You're far and away higher at this than I am, but I'm going to ask a student who's involved in 4-H FFA and has a background in agriculture to be joining me in the studio. You're going to help talk about headlines, interview guests, and just be a part of the show prep and what goes on. Maybe you have an interest in radio broadcasting, farm journalism, and so much more. This is an opportunity to have that one day event of do I like it or not? So hopefully more of you are reaching out and sending in your applications. I need students starting right now. Be good to have them. So Roger, one of the other things I sent to you was this poultry situation. Unfortunately, there is a Pure Prairie poultry processing plant in Minnesota that closed unexpectedly. And so it left Iowa poultry farmers having to euthanize 1.3 million chickens. It looks like this is going to be something that where folks are going to have to ask a lot of questions. They had recently gotten a USDA grant in order to do some expansion. And here we are now with an abrupt closure, bankruptcy, et cetera. Have you ever been close to a situation like this, or have you seen some reverberations even down as far as into your world in Missouri when things like this happen?
Not to the extent that this thing was. For sure, we've seen some swine operations go broke. But that, a chicken from the time it's hatched until the day that they butcher it is like 48 days. Things happen fast in the poultry business. And, that whole thing it's just mind-blowing. The fact that it was $49 million or some kind of government money and it just disappeared. I mean, where does it go?
Right. If you had a USDA loan it was $39 million and there was a $7 million grant on top of it, what was being used? And those were stopgap measures that started back in 2023, which is a little bit, and I don't know all the background on some of this stuff, but some of that need happened because of COVID, because there were problems going on at that point. But then once we got to April of 2023, we still saw some pretty high food prices. And this would have been a poultry operation where they weren't there for egg laying, but they were there for butchering. So I guess there's always that supply and demand situation. What were the effects that caused us to have a closure like this?
Yeah, and the story you sent me, it focused a lot on the fact that it was a more like an organic chicken deal, and they had problems with their distribution channels. That industry has gone very, very vertical. I mean, Costco raises all their own chickens in their own houses and butcher in their own plants. There are just fundamental changes in that business, I suspect, had a lot to do with it.
I think they probably did too. And as we wrap up the show today, Roger, I want to say thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you being able to help me fill in today as my host, and I hope you had a little bit of fun while you did it as well.
Well, I did. Thank you.
All right, folks. Be back tomorrow. Looking forward to hearing you right here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Have a great afternoon. The Jay Thomas Show is next.